as I was reading through Genesis, go ahead and turn to Genesis chapter 12. Certain little things caught my eye, and I kind of made notes of them. Tonight I want to talk to you, bring out one little truth about those half-truths or half-truths. Half-truths, T-R-U-E-S. How many are with me? Or truths, T-H-R-U-T-H-S. How many are with me? In other words, it's half true and half a lie. How many are with me? Some people call them just little lies or not all the way the truth or fibs. I want to talk to you tonight about those, a fellow that had half truth, and give you a little thoughts about them. A look at Genesis chapter 12. We'll talk about Abraham tonight in this little Bible study we're having. Well, those kids were a blessing, weren't they? I love seeing them kids, man. Genesis chapter 12. Look at verse 10. And there was a famine in the land. How many of you got Genesis 12, 10? And Abraham, I circled this in my Bible, Eddie. He went down. I circled went down. And I circled Egypt. Every time you go to Egypt, you're going down. Egypt, for the Christians, is a type of the world. God doesn't want us to be in the world. He tells us to come out from the world. He tells us in 1 John not to love the world or the things in the world. And whenever you see, it's amazing. I don't care if you even had to go. You're always going down when you go to Egypt because you're going away from God. And Abraham went down, verse 2, into Egypt to sojourn there, for the famine was grievous in the land. And it came to pass when he came near unto Egypt, that he said unto Sarah his wife, "Behold, now I know that thou art a fair woman to look upon." In other words, she was a very pretty lady. "Therefore it shall come to pass when the Egyptians shall see thee, that they shall say, 'This is his wife,' they will kill me, but they will save thee alive. Say, I pray thee, thou art my sister." I circled that. "That it may be well with me for thy sake, and my soul shall live because of thee." And it came to pass that, well, you ever notice it always comes to pass? It always does, doesn't it? And it came to pass that when Abram was come unto Egypt, that the Egyptians behold the woman, that she was very fair. Did you notice that two times it's mentioned about her countenance, about her beauty? Sarah was a very pretty lady. And I want you to mark this, because I'm going to show you some things tonight before we leave. At least I'm hoping to. Now, when Sarah had the baby, she was 91 years old, right in her 90, between 90 and 91, and Abraham was 100. So Abraham was around 9 to 10 years older than Sarah. Are you with me? How many are still with me yet? In Genesis 12:4, it says Abraham was 75 years old when he left Haran. If you look at that 12:4, he was 75 years. So that means she was around 65 years old when they left. So she's in her 60s, maybe even around 70 right now. And they're still saying she's a pretty lady. How many are still with me? Okay. I'm going to make a note of that for you. And the princes also, in verse 15, see, you ought to think about when you read stuff. I think about numbers. I think about ages. I'm telling you right now, when you read something, God's trying to teach us stuff, and there's a truth behind everything, if we'll just think about those truths. Are you still with me, church? Let's pick up verse 17. "And the Lord plagued Pharaoh and his house with great plagues because of Sarah, Abraham's wife. And Abraham called And Pharaoh called Abraham and said, "What is it that thou hast done unto me? Why hast thou not tell me that she was thy wife? Why sayest thou she's my sister, so I might have taken her to me my wife? Now therefore, behold thy wife, take her and go thy way." In other words, he said, get out of here, man. You almost got us killed. Good thing we didn't take your wife and have sex with her and commit adultery and get judged by God. Are you still with me? Boy, the Hollywood crowd ought to read this scripture, Mark. And all the people in America, all the adultery going on. And Pharaoh commanded his men concerning him, and they sent him away, and his wife, and all he had, and that he had. So I want you to note that verse 13, "Say, I pray thee, that thou art my sister." Well, and you're going to find out when I read you next, we're going to turn up in a few verses here, a few chapters. She really was his half-sister. Sarah really was his half-sister. They had the same father, but not the same mother. But he married her. And although he was, you call it like stretching the truth. How many of you ever tried to stretch the truth? There was some truth in it, but there really was something sinister behind what you're trying to do. How many know what I'm talking about? And see, Abraham was trying to hide behind a lie. You can't hide behind lies. How many are still with preacher? Be careful about those things. And so he lies about Sarah being his wife. And I noted in verse 10, God doesn't want us to go to Egypt. He doesn't want us to go back to the things of the old world. The Bible says to come out from among them and be separate, saith the Lord. He was in a place that he shouldn't have been. And he was saying things he shouldn't have been saying. And if he would have did right, he wouldn't have had to lie about his wife. Now, I want you to turn now with me. By the way, in verse 13, watch out for those half-truths. Watch out for those half-lies. Oh, there was some truth behind it. She was his sister, but she really was his wife. I noted three things about half-truths. Half-truths, one, they will always get you into trouble. Half-truths, number two, they will always be found out. And number three, half-truths, they will follow you. Yeah, the things that we lie about follows us. You ever notice that they follow our life? How many of you have ever noticed that? I want you to turn now. This is a great little outline, Rod. It shouldn't take me too long. Amen? I knew I had this program, so I thought I'd just do something small. You know it doesn't matter. That's right. I was trying to make them feel good. I knew Rod was saying, "Boy, preacher, I know you too much." So we find in Genesis 12 there about Abraham and Sarah and this half-truth that he tried to pass on. Now look at Genesis chapter 20. And look at verse 1 through 12. Abraham journeyed from thence towards the south country, dwelt between Kadesh and Shur, and sojourned at Gerar. And Abraham said unto Sarah, his wife, "She is my sister." Hey, Mark, I heard that back in Genesis 12. He's got this down pat, Eddie. Different king, different guy, different place, but he's got this thing down pat. And Abimelech, king of Gerar, sent and took Sarah. Now, by the way, now she's got to be in her 70s. Hello? How many are still with me? Matter of fact, Ruthie, when I studied this, I think, really, she's in her 80s. Because this is chapter 20. Chapter 20, verse 1. Chapter 21, verse 1. God tells her she's going to have a baby within a year. And she had it when she... So she's around 90 there. So I'm going to tell you right now, she's probably mid-80s, or she might even be 88, 89 right now. And he's still worried someone's going to take his wife. That lady's pretty nice looking. I'm trying to get you to think with me. How many are still thinking with me? See, you don't even think about that when you read. I think about stuff. Hello? See, God back in Genesis 12 made a statement how pretty she was. He wanted you to know, hey, I gave Abraham a choice wife. Fellas, we ought to thank God for our wives. Amen? How many are still with me? And verse 3, but God came to Abimelech in a dream by night and said to him, behold, thou art but a dead man. Oh, man, holy mackerel. Oh, man, God. That's a nightmare. How many ever had bad dreams? That's one. That's you went cuckoo for cuckoo puffs. Or what was that you told me today, Bill? Cuckoo for cuckoo puffs or something like that? Anyways, that's what he did. And said to him, behold, thou art but a dead man, for the woman which thou hast taken, for she is a man's wife. But Abimelech had not come near her, and he said, Lord, wilt thou slay also a righteous nation? Said he not unto me, she is my sister? And she even herself said, he is my brother. Man, he told me she was her sister. She even told me with her own words, Lord, that's my brother. Boy, they both had the story down pat, huh? And in the integrity of my heart and innocency of my hands have I done this. Verse 6, Genesis 20. God said unto him, in a dream, yea, I know that thou didst this in integrity of thy heart, for I also withheld thee from sinning against me. Therefore, suffer I thee not to touch her. Now, therefore, restore the man his wife, for he's a prophet. Hallelujah. And he shall pray for thee, and thou shalt live. And if thou restore her not, know that thou shalt surely die, thou and all that are thine. In other words, he said, I'm going to kill you and everybody with you. That's the motivation to do right, ain't it, Eddie? Kind of like the mafia saying, hey, yeah, I'm going to get you, buddy. Are you with me? I'm going to tell you something. When God says something, everybody better stop. Therefore, Abimelech rose early in the morning and called all his servants and told all these things in the ears of the men. And they were so afraid because they said, oh, my lands, God's going to kill us. Boy, isn't God merciful? Arlene said, talking to me and Rosie today, she said, I'm amazed that God loves me. And Rosie said, I'm amazed he loves any of us. Isn't that the truth? We're all sinners. We're all just saved by grace. Ain't none of us no good. We're just but dust, sanctified dust. Amen? Look at verse 9. Then Abimelech called Abraham and said to him, what is thou done unto us? And you know what's the bad thing too, fellas? I know these kings, both these kings would have liked to put the whoop on them, but they were so afraid God was going to get them. They had to let them go free, Mike. Plus, they had to give them stuff. Woo, I like that kind of, like a bodyguard protection. Amen? Then Abimelech called Abraham and said unto him, what hast thou done unto us? What have I offended thee that thou hast brought on me and my kingdom a great sin? See, they still thought it was wrong to go after another man's wife. America ought to think that too. Amen. Thou hast done deeds unto me, and that ought not to be done. And Abimelech said unto Abraham, what sawest thou that thou hast done this thing? Why'd you do this to us, man? Look what Abraham's answer was. Abraham said, because I thought surely the fear of God is not in this place. And by the way, that's what happens when there's no fear of God. People don't care about sinning. And they will slay me for my wife's sake. And yet indeed she is my... Here's verse 12. Now this, I put Genesis 12:13 right here. That's the first time he mentioned she's his sister. And yet, indeed, she is my sister. She is the daughter of my father. but not the daughter of my mother. And she became my wife. Notice that. She is the daughter of my father. Oh, no, I read that. She's the daughter of my father, but not the daughter of thy mother. How many see that? Half. They're half, right? So I did write, yeah. And she became my wife. And it came to pass, when God caused me to wander from my father's house, I said unto her, this is thy kindness, which thou shalt show unto me, at every place whither we shall come, say of me, he's my brother. You say, preacher, why is a guy marrying his half-sister? Because back then there wasn't that many people. How many are with me yet? And now you don't marry, you don't even marry your cousins now. You ought not. But I'm just saying, back then, remember Genesis 12, in Genesis chapter 4, you start with Genesis 3, 1 and 2, you start with Adam and Eve. Aren't you glad it wasn't Steve? Adam and Steve? And Abimelech took sheep and oxen and men servants and women servants and gave them unto Abraham and restored Sarah's wife. And Abimelech said, behold, my land is before thee. Dwell where it pleases thee. And Sarah, and he said unto Sarah, he that, behold, I have given thy brother 1,000 pieces of silver. Behold, he is thee a covering of the eyes unto all that are with thee, and with all with other. Thus she was reproved. So he kind of chided her. And so Abraham prayed unto God, and God healed Abimelech and his wife and his maidservants, and they bare children. For the Lord had fast closed up their wombs in the house of Abimelech because of Sarah, Abraham's wife. I'm going to tell you right now, America better learn something real quick. God can judge America real quick. God can do anything. He could bring a famine. He could close up the wounds. He could bring national disaster. Hey, he can do anything. What we need to do is to seek him. Righteousness exalts a nation, sins a reproach to any people. I've tried not to be political, but I really am glad about that vote last night over there in Massachusetts. Those liberals finally did something right. Amen. And that's the very something that a liberal ever do right. But they did right last night and stopped. Hopefully they'll stop all this crazy spending that's going on in the White House. They'll stop that trillion-dollar bill that they want to get through, national health care that's going to destroy our country. And so you can get mad at me all you want, but I'm going to tell you, that thing's out to destroy our nation. And if we don't get some sanity back in the White House with all the Congress, well, I'm talking about all of them, Republican and Democrat. I'll tell you, I'm so sick of Republican and Democrat. Man, I just want to get some people that love America back in there and love God. And I'll tell you, last night I stayed and watched it. I was so excited. I told Rosie, first of all, I really thought, I better not. Okay. I better get back to Abraham. I've been real good. I've not been saying anything about it. I've been quiet. Have you noticed? I'm really proud of myself lately. But I really am glad about last night. He might have gave America a little more time. Maybe. And it makes me think, could America come back to God? Could America get their senses back again? I hope so. You know? And, I'll say it. I might as well get it out of my gut, Mark. There's so much corruption on both sides. Johnny, to be honest with you, I thought they'd rigged the election. But maybe it was too... See, they didn't think the girl could lose. It wouldn't matter if she was a man or a lady. They didn't have a chance because they were voting against what was going on in these behind-the-closed-doors over there in White House, giving everything away in bribes. How many are with me? What's that got to do with Genesis? Nothing. But I'm sure having a good time right now, getting it off my chest. And anyways, you ought to be glad because it's going to help your country, at least for a little while. There's corruption. By the way, it's not just the Democratic Party. It's the whole caboodle. But I thought, well, they'll rig the votes. That's sad when you nowadays you don't even know if your vote counts anymore. But yeah, hey, that's good. Thank you. There's a perfect example. Half truths. One of the promises would be everything will be out in the open. No, it isn't. They're giving a list of, well, they do give a list of everyone that comes in. You can't see them. You can't know what they're saying, but they give a list who's coming and leaving. Amen? That's a half-true, isn't it? But we're far from being out of the danger zone, but I just believe the Lord's coming back, folks. I was talking to Elmer last night for a couple hours, and Elmer was in the banking system. A year ago, they threw all these trillions of dollars. They gave money away to the banks. They gave it away. You just don't understand what's going on. I don't bring it up to you. I get depressed enough. I don't want to depress you. But I'm telling you, it's scary. I love America. I love America, folks. I'm going to tell you right now, I'll fight for America. I'm not even talking about being a Christian right now. I love them. I mean, I'm proud more to be a Christian, but I love this country that God gave me. And, the real Americans better start standing up and speaking out. That's why you had these tea parties and stuff. But and don't you think it's not making a difference? It is making a difference. So, well, I better get back, Rod. I didn't mean to do that. So in Genesis chapter 20, Sarah, in verse 12, Abraham reveals that Sarah's his half-sister. By the way, Terah, look at that verse 12, and yet indeed she is my sister. She's the daughter of my father, but not the daughter of my mother. Let me see that. She's the daughter of my father. Well, his father was Terah, Genesis 11, 26. So they had the same father, but a different mother. Are you with me? How many are still with me? And so she's his half-sister. And so I'm not really, well, King, I'm not really lying all the way. She is my wife, but she really was half my half-sister, too. You know, it's one of the, well, I, really, King, the real truth about it, I thought you'd kill me. I thought you'd kill me, so I thought I'd just better do a tiny little lie, one of those half-truths. And did you notice, and look at Genesis 21:1, and the Lord visited Sarah as he had said, and the Lord did unto Sarah as he had spoken. Well, if hold your hand there and go back to Genesis chapter 18. If you'll look at Genesis chapter 18 and look at verse 17. Chapter 17. Genesis chapter 17 and look at verse 15 through 18. Look at Genesis 17 verse 15. God said unto Abraham, as for Sarah thy wife, thou shalt not call her name Sarah, but Sarah shall be her name be, and I will bless her and give thee a son of her. Yea, remember that promised seed that he talked about all the way back in Genesis 12? They had to wait 25 years, but the boy did come. And I will bless her. And you know, I often thought, Ruthie, I wonder by them taking Lot, that other sin that I preached about a week ago, that sin, and God said not to take Lot. I wonder if that slowed down the process of her having, because they were in disobedience. I wonder if that slowed down the process of her having that baby. Something to think about. Well, go back to this verse. Look at verse 16 of Genesis 17. I will bless her and give her a son. Yea, I will bless her, and she shall be a mother of nations. Kings of people shall be of her. Abraham fell upon his face and laughed and said in his heart, shall a child be born unto him that's 100 years old? And shall Sarah, that is 90 years old, bear? How many see that? So she had to be around 90 years old when he makes this statement. So that means, really, in that means in Genesis chapter 20, she's got to be around 89. Hello? How many are still with me? You think, and yet she's still a beautiful lady. By the way, you know, you can be beautiful and not have to be a beautiful lady. Beauty's more than skin deep. I know a lot of beautiful women that I thank God for that walk with the Lord. Hello? And so we see Sarah there. You mean even if it took a year, I'd be 100. My wife would be 90. You mean to tell me after we waited all these years, now you're going to give me and Sarah a baby? Yes. But that puts down her age right there, Eddie. How many are still with preacher? And so, and then when you think about Sarah, she had that baby when she was 90 years old, Isaac, and don't turn to him, but in Genesis 23, well, you can. In Genesis 23:1, she dies. She's 127 years old. In 23:1, she dies. 127. Genesis 23:1, and Sarah was 120 years old. And these were the years of the life of Sarah. So she died at 127 years old. So she lived another 37 years after she had Isaac. Because if she was 90 when she had Isaac, and she died at 127. See, things like that mean things to me. How many are still with me? What's preacher trying to do? I'm trying to get you, when you read your Bible, to think. Because there might be some great truth there. I'm not bringing you no great truth right now. But there might be a truth there someday. Get your mind to think when you read, is there some things beyond what I'm reading? Are you with me? I know Isaac, when he got his wife, he was 40 years old. So that means 3 years after his mama died, he got his wife. And the Bible said he was comforted after that too, by the way. I want you to look at one more scripture. I told you that these half-truths follow you. Not only they get revealed. I told you that the telling half-truths will get you in trouble. Telling half-truths, they usually get revealed. usually people find out a half-truth is not true. Because usually if you tell a lie, you got to tell another lie to back up the half. You know, how many with me? And then I want you to see something and think about this. The last thought I want to give you is the half-truths, those little lies that we think, they follow you. And they follow your generations. Our kids watch what we do. Our kids listen to what we do. They pick up traits from us. They pick up characteristics from us. They pick up sins from us. They really do. And look at Genesis 26, verse 1 through 9, and I'll close. And there was a famine. Let me see that in Genesis 26:1. And there was a famine in the land besides this first famine that was in the days of Abraham. Remember when he went back down to Egypt? Back in Genesis 12? And Isaac went with Abimelech, king of the Philistines, unto Gerar. And the Lord appeared unto him and said, go not. Not. You know, the kids say not. God's saying not. Go not down into Egypt. God never wants his, he doesn't want his children to go down into Egypt. You there, look up here. We've been redeemed. We've been taken out of bondage. When you read about Egypt, they were in bondage for over 400 years of Jewish people. Why would you want to go back into bondage? I know it's before Moses, but I'm trying to give you a spiritual truth. God doesn't want me to go back to the bars. He took me out of the bars. He doesn't want me to go back to the honky tonks and the back rooms. He took me out of that and brought me into Marvelous Light. Galena Street, Nullis, that's my Egypt. He doesn't want me to go back there. He don't want you to go back to your old bondage of Egypt that you came from either. The place that you were before you got saved, that's your Egypt. Are you still with me? I used to drink and all kinds of things. I'm not proud of it. I wish I never took a drop. I hope these kids, I hope our kids, I beg them, I hope they never have a drop of alcohol in their lungs. Wouldn't that be, I wish I could say I've never taken any alcohol. When God saves you from things, he don't want you to go back to them. Egypt is a picture of bondage. So when you go back to Egypt, you're going back to bondage. But God's freed us from that. Amen? There's a song, "Thank God I'm free, free, free from this world of sin. Been washed in the blood of Jesus. I've been born again." Amen? Hallelujah, I'm saved, saved, saved. I'm so glad that I found out he would bring me out. And so I'm going to tell you right now, once you get out, don't go back in. Now, I know you can't lose your salvation. But I'll tell you, a lot of times we have wasted life. We have wasted years, wasted time, and we hurt a lot of families and a lot of people's lives and our own children's lives because we go back to Egypt. And he says there, look what he says there, "Do not go down. Go not down into Egypt." You see that in verse 2? Let me see verse 2. And so God says, don't go down. And then keep reading with me. Look at verse 3. "And sojourn in the land, and I will be with thee." By the way, he's always with us if we'll just walk with him. He'll never leave us nor forsake us. The Bible says that. And we'll bless thee, for unto thee and unto thy seed I will give all these countries, and I will perform the oath that I swear unto Abraham thy father, and I will make thy seed to multiply as the stars of heaven, and will give unto thy seed all the countries, and in thy seed shall all the nations of the earth be blessed. We're blessed by the Jewish people. People think they're cursed. They're not. David Siegel's a pain in the neck to us, but the Jewish people are cursed. I'm having fun. Hello? Joking. The Jewish people are a blessing to America. They're a blessing to every, look up, I mean this, they're a blessing to every country. Oh, those rotten Jews. No, God blessed us with Jewish people. By the way, they're no better than you and I. They got to be saved just like you and I. And if they don't get saved, they don't go to heaven. That's why we need to care about them going. We need to witness them too. "And I will make thy seed to multiply in the stars of heaven, and will give them all these countries, and thy seed shall all nations of the earth be blessed, because that Abraham obeyed my voice and kept my charge, my commandments, my statutes, and my laws. And Isaac dwelt in Gerar." And remember, that's where Abraham, that's where he lied there too. Remember, Abraham lied? That's one of the places he lied too, remember? Now watch this verse 7. I just got tickled when I read that, every time I read it. "And the men of the place asked him of his wife. Now this is years later, so mark, those people forgot. You know, it's been a long time since Abraham and Sarah. How many are still with me? Many years. And they said, "She's my sister." Isaac said, "She's my sister." I want you to think with me. "And I'm all, for he feared to say, 'She is my wife,' lest the men of the place should kill for Rebekah, because she was fair to look upon." I'm going to close with that, but I want to give you a thought. Think with me. I'm talking about those little half-truths. I told you they'd get you in trouble. They got Abraham in trouble. I told you they eventually get revealed, and he got revealed. And I said they follow you. Now stay with me. In Genesis 12, Abraham says, Sarah is my sister. At least she was his half-sister. Hello? And then he says in chapter 20, she's my, and then he finds out she's his half-sister. Now remember, that's Genesis chapter 20. Isaac's not even born. Isaac's not born to Genesis 21. He wasn't even around, Addie. He wasn't even around when his dad did those things. I wonder if he heard some stories about it. I wonder if he heard about the stories about how his dad, and he retained it in his head. Hello? And so when he gets in the same position his dad is, by the way, she did have some bloodline to him. Wasn't his half-sister, but she was like a cousin or something. How many are still with me? He uses a sin. He uses his lie that he learned that his dad used. Even though Abraham wasn't there, it still followed him. Watch out. Your children are watching you. Your children are listening. And they're seeing what you do. And believe it or not, they might be doing exactly what you did years down the line because they saw you do it or they heard what you did. See how important it is to have a good testimony for our kids? Let me show you one. I'll give you one last thought. This is not a sin. To some of you, think it will be because we live in Cleveland, but Cleveland area. I grew up and I loved the New York Yankees. I like winners. I always was a winner. And I love being with winners. I love winning. Matter of fact, I hate to lose. I think it's ridiculous to lose. I can't stand to lose. I've never been able to lose. I just can't stand it. But it's amazing. If you'd ask David Richard what his favorite baseball team is, he likes the New York Yankees. Wow. And if you would go up to my grandson, Austin Skyver, and ask him what his favorite baseball team is, he'll tell you he likes the New York Yankees. I wonder where they got all that at. See, they pick up good things and bad things. How many are with me? By the way, I'm not saying that. I think they're smart to like the Yankees myself. By the way, I root for Cleveland all year round. And the only time I don't root for Cleveland is when they play the Yankees. I'm a homer. I always root for Cleveland. Matter of fact, Eddie, I'm hoping that before the rapture happens, I'll see someone win here in Cleveland. Wouldn't it be great to see before the rapture happens? I don't know if it's ever going to happen. It'd take a miracle, but it would be something if we did see it. Amen. But what I'm using as an illustration, David William loves the Michigan Wolverines. Guess who Lukey likes? Michigan Wolverines. David William, Ballard will not eat meatloaf. Guess what? Lukey won't eat meatloaf. It's delicious. I love meatloaf. Matter of fact, I told Rosie, make me meatloaf for the senior program next Thursday. I love meatloaf, and David will be gone. So we'll have all the meatloaf we can get. What I'm trying to say is this. My kids and my grandkids, when we have those bad tempers, you wonder where your kid gets those tempers? They saw it from you. They saw it from me. How many are with me yet? And so we got to be careful because Isaac, even though he didn't see his daddy do something, he heard about it. And he still picked it up, Eddie. And so we got to be careful what we pass down to our children. because they're watching and they're listening. And what we do will determine a lot of times what they'll do. Amen? So let's be careful. Let's be careful about those half-truths. Those half-truth and half-lie. Let's be careful about those borderline things. Because those borderline things will come back and bring damage to you and your family. Let's bow our heads in prayer. Heavenly Father, help us, Father, to learn to be honest in all our dealings. Help us to trust you, Lord. Lord, I see in Abraham's life, he lacked a little bit of faith there for you to provide, for you to protect him. Lord, help us to trust you with all our heart and soul and for all our needs and for all everything we need. And Lord, even while I'm praying now, Lord, I would to God you'd touch Chrissy Hillis. Lord, I just pray right now you'd reach down from heaven. Lord, by faith, I'm going to ask you to touch Chrissy and heal that leg and knee, whatever it's hurt. Lord, I pray that, and I pray she won't have to have surgery. Dear God, please help her not to have surgery and heal her up. And bless our people. And Lord, help us to learn this truth from Abraham. Help us to learn a truth that we can pass good things back to our kids or we can pass bad things down to our children. And help us to learn to and strive to pass good things down to them and try not to pass down those bad things. I ask these things in Christ's name. Amen. Alrighty, let's stand. We'll sing one verse of prayer. If you want to come forward, and what page are you on, Mark? If you want to come for any reason, you come right now as he sings.